anyway. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we try to wrap up here the doctrine of sins of the tongue. Always like Bible class. It's an hour I can talk and I probably won't sin, so I like that. We're at Roman numeral 14, page 3 of our notes. This section deals with some other abuses of speech that we are to guard against. Unfulfilled promises. To promise to do something and then do not keep your word. It's not right, even if it is voluntary, if you will. Deuteronomy 23:23. You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. Think before you talk. Don't let you know what cash what the other can't cover. If you're going to volunteer for something, follow through and make sure that you perform your duties. Otherwise, it's better just to move on than leave people in limbo that they could have made an alternative application otherwise. So, you know, these things, people think sometimes, well, it's voluntary, so it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it does. Your word's your word. And your integrity of your reputation stands on your word. Well, at least it used to. I'm assuming that principle still holds today. Psalm 15:4. Type of believer that committed by God, for God, in whose eyes the examination, a reprobate, that's when rejecting doctrine is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change, even if what one may promise to do may put one in a bind otherwise, cost to a certain degree or whatever, to fulfill that word exemplifies the integrity of that individual. To keep your word. Sometimes it may not be that much of a sacrifice to begin with, but then it ends up being a big sacrifice at the end. Well, that is to test your mettle in regards to the promise that you've given. And obviously the bigger sacrifice on one's part, the more SG3 one can expect in return. Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it. For he takes no delight in fools to string people along. You have obligations, meet your obligations. You should prioritize in regards to your life in that respect, financially, as well as otherwise. God doesn't have room for people that otherwise say one thing and do not follow through. Pay what you vow. It's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. That's exactly what I said. Better off just, okay, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to do that, so you move on. Of course, obviously, if you had the means and ability to do something and you don't do it, otherwise, that's not right either. So, doctrine will put you in a corner. Don't worry about it. It'll back you in there. B, rash and impudent speech off the cuff, without thinking about things. A lot of people like to talk just to hear themselves talk, even though everybody else has tuned them out. Proverbs 15:28. The heart, mind, thinking, soul, the righteous ponders how to answer. Think things through. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. To listen, maybe things need to be prayed about before a response is given, see, in regards to certain things. But you carefully consider and weigh all that is in front of you before you respond with your answer, rather than just off the cuff. You know, I'm under a Living Grace test. I'm not making enough money where I'm working at. Well, you need to move and make some money, you know, just right off the cuff. Even though it's going to take you out of class or whatever, see. Rash, impudent, impetuous. 29:20 Proverbs. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. One doesn't think about what they're going to say in response to people. Obviously, now there are times that you have to respond immediately. We understand that. Then, in general, to consider what's going on, to give it an ear, be in conversations. You're trying to explain something, and people will just butt in the middle of it and not let you finish your explanation, which they butt in with questions or whatever that you're getting ready to address anyway. Things like that. It's part of growing up, part of being courteous to others and being a good listener. See, many words. Talk. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Take a breather. Take a breath. Otherwise, you'll talk your way into sin. That's the idea. But he who restrains his lips is wise. But bridle your tongue. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. It's thought it through. It lays it out in a coherent fashion, logical fashion, that people can identify with. But the mouth of fools spouts folly. To do the unrighteous thing or the compromise of doctrine as the solution to the problem. Rather than consider the doctrine before you and how it applies to the situation. Ecclesiastes 5. Back to Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs here. 2, 3, and 7. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. In other words, prayer isn't just an open door free for all. And you better think about what you pray about, because God may give it to you. And you go, oh, wait. For God is in heaven, you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. He knows all things. He wants us to ask in all things. He wants us to be on top of our own ball game in regards to our life and where it's going and our needs. And to bring these things before the throne of grace. But He's always known from eternity past all of our needs. So, your prayers, keep them simple, straightforward. They don't have to be highly sophisticated. You don't have to impress God with your vernacular. Obviously, I've never done that with Him. Barely able to get it out of my own mouth. Let your words be few. You got your prayer protocol before you, what you're to pray about, the attitude you're praying in, and just address God. And again, you know, no matter what it is, don't, you know, there's this idea sometimes you get from religious types that somehow it's embarrassing to talk to God about certain things in your life. Where does that come from? Well, I mean, He created us. He knows how we function, physically and otherwise. You know, whatever it may be, pray about it. And yes, God's hand is in everything. I mean everything. Even if it's for pleasure. He still blesses. Etc. Verse 3, for the dream comes through much effort and the voice of the fool through many words. The emphasis should be on your application in regards to doctrine and maintaining a healthy prayer life. And your desires, God will address them. He wants to bless us. He's not a stingy God. But there are certain areas, obviously, in our lives that God determines to wait to bless us in certain areas. Maybe we're just not ready to completely appreciate the blessing at hand in regards to legitimate desires that we have. You know, need to grow up a little bit more spiritually to gain the capacity. You know, it's one thing to be given something like a new car every time you turn around. After a while, you really lose the capacity to enjoy your car. But if it's something you've been wanting for 50 years and you get it, wow. See, you have a capacity. I guess I'm stuck on that example for a while. 7 and 4. In many dreams and many words, there is emptiness. Rather, fear God. See, fear God is just a short phrase to be oriented to God, stay humble, be in fellowship, apply doctrine, apply your prayer protocol appropriately. Pray wisely. Ecclesiastes. And a lot of times we think we need things and we think it's best for us. And God knows better. See. Obviously everything that God's doing for us is to enhance our SG3 package, our spiritual matriculation and spiritual growth. We don't always have that in mind, even though we may try to stay focused on it best of our ability. So you never know. I mean, we're getting ready to study Joseph. And God ultimately blesses him to be the second most powerful person in this world. And people go, why didn't God bless me like that? Well, you wait and see the test that Joseph goes through before God gives that to him. Are you willing to go there to endure? See, et cetera, et cetera. And it all comes about in regards to everything God is doing is for our benefit. If we are oriented to God, for maladjusted, misacclimated, obviously, then we go back to one of those other verbal sins like complaining or lying or whatever. Ecclesiastes 10:14. Yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen. Who can tell him what will come after him? The know-it-all. I've had to work with people like that. Golly. Give me an ibuprofen now. Here they come. It's like they think they know everything. And I'm not saying that they don't know a lot. Some of them do. But it's that abusive assault, verbal assault that people like to get into, that I'm dealing with. Ultimately, what does occur, what happens, but you need to do this, you need to do that, you need, do you know what God's got in store for you on the way? No. Do you? So, get my drift, hopefully. Roman numeral 15. God protects the positive believer from the attack of the tongue. Doesn't mean all attacks will he protect you. Obviously, Jesus endured much. Paul endured much. Other believers endured much. Job 5:21. But it will not be to such a degree that it will incapacitate the believer, thwart their spiritual advance, and otherwise discourage them, if you will. Continue on in the race. People say a lot of things, and hopefully you never hear them. As far as I'm concerned. People are going to think what they're going to think. For those who hold to doctrine, recognize God in the form of divine discipline in their lives, will adjust to that. 21, you will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. Neither will you be afraid of violence when it comes. When people do verbally attack, reflect animosity, you're able to feel it. Again, it doesn't mean that it may not seem you all spin temporarily under your own STA or something of that nature, but ultimately it's not going to undo you. See, it's not going to cause you to crash and burn. And often you can take it and you stay in fellowship and you feel it that way. And you got to think about the levels of application that people have made in time. You know, like the apostles being killed and murdered, and asking God on the way out to forgive the people that they don't know what they're doing. See, to have that type of an attitude, to have that type of confidence, and carry oneself like that, and courage, to have that kind of doctrine in your soul. I don't, hopefully, never have to face that situation, but I always dream of being able to. Myself, you know, to apply at that level, if the occasion called. I still got a long ways to go. Don't worry about it. Psalm 31:20. Verse 19. How great is your goodness, God, which you have stored up for those who fear you, the positive believer, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man whatever else is going on in Satan's world, designed to undo man. We'll probably all be pleasantly enlightened in phase three of all that God did on our behalf to protect us along the way, that we didn't get caught up and wrapped up in a lot of this stuff. Like taking a cruise on a vacation and all of a sudden you're quarantined to a ship for 14 days out of nowhere. You know, pray about everything, I'm telling you. You're stupid if you don't. You may be a daisy if you don't. You know, if the coronavirus, I mean, obviously I assume you know what I'm talking about, the cause for all this. But anyway, blessed be the Lord, for He has made marvelous. Verse 20b. You do keep them secretly and shelter from the strife of tongues. People speak bad things, talk bad things, but it has no real effect in regards to your life. People may do that on the job. Bad mouth to people on the job and things of that nature, because if your work integrity and the jealousy of people that are lazy otherwise and don't have that kind of integrity, as they'll run their mouths to pass the time reminiscing in regards to what they think is arrogant in their life, you know. But the boss sees it, you still get promoted. You know. Protection. It's protection. Have Psalm 31:20. And 120. I'm assuming that's a short psalm. Let me see here. It is. The prayer for deliverance from the unrighteous, those who seek to do you harm, verbally or otherwise, a song of ascents, God to raise you up, protect you. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, Psalm 120, and He responded to me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. That is something I consistently pray about in regards to our ministry here at this local church, that God doesn't let this be undermined, you know, by others, to protect us. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Verse 4, sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, so I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. The antagonism that you face to hold for the truth of Bible doctrine in time will bring verbal retribution back to you. And count on it. It's part of living the Christian life. Roman numeral 16, divine discipline awaits those that do not control their speech. Let your mouth run unbridled. It will come back to you in the form of divine discipline. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is tore down. Even on a more universal scale of discipline. And then Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. And some of that trouble can come from God Himself, for you not overruling your sin nature otherwise. So Roman numeral 17, the tongue of the powerful and ruthless. A Bible doctrine recognizes the existence of the ruthless and oppressive. It's part of Satan's world. Create chaos. It's the nature of the STA to be destructive, to do evil. Proverbs 30, 11 through 13. There is a kind of person who curses his father. A child that has no natural love in regards to the parent. And in fact, it goes beyond simple rebellion and dismissiveness to outright verbally slandering and attacking the parent. Parents should never put up with that from a child, from their own children especially. It is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Children are to honor their parents. Now, to honor a parent doesn't mean that you have to be an emotional support to them. You got to run home every time mom or dad, are feeling sad. But obviously, they brought you up. They supported you growing up as a child. When they get in other years and other times, if they need physical assistance, one would step in and do what they are able to do to help them out. And to treat their parents civilly. With respect. There are people out there that don't do that at all. They could care less about their parents. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes. Verse 12, yet is not washed from his filthiness. The self-righteous, arrogant type. That is full of human viewpoint. SCA pursuits in life. The blockheads that cannot ever be objective in regards to themselves. Always subjective. Again, they know it all. They're not doing anything wrong. Blah, 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 even though doctrine may not substantiate their claims. Because of this thing, we have kind of societies that we have here in the United States. Teenagers, children, and how they deal with their parents. Some of them even trying to sue their parents over stupid stuff. You know, that kind of BS. The politicians, they're pure in their own eyes, see. We have the right way to go. Let's open up all of our borders and let all the immigrants back in and all this other good stuff, you know, without being vetted. And, you know, all kinds of, and they're pure. See, they're pure in their own eyes, but they're full of filthiness. They're driven by their own STA. There's a kind, verse 13, oh, how lofty are his eyes. And his eyelids are raised in arrogance supplied appropriately. The arrogant of the arrogance. I think because the head of some large corporation, some CEO, that they're God's answer to humanity. Let's see. They have no respect and no consideration in regards to they're blessed because God permitted them to be blessed. God blesses, God curses. He does whom He so chooses. And a lot of it is runs along the culpability factor of those being blessed and rejecting God otherwise. There's a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, verse 14. And his jaw, teeth like knives to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. Population control. Ding. B, their mouth conceals violence. Obviously through flattery, syrupy, speech otherwise, lying, deceiving, but they have a hidden agenda. Proverbs 10:6. Blessed are the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Conceals violence. They don't ever become transparent of their true agenda before people. See, David prayed for protection from such men. We can pray for our own protection, sufficient so that we can run our course, complete our course, keep us together as a lampstand throughout the rest of the church age, as a local church. Psalm 57, 4 through 6. David's prayer, my soul is among lions, those who would devour him, attack him if opportunity exists. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, all the barbs of animosity and hostility, slander, things of this nature that is directed towards David. And you can imagine he had his share of it. He was not a perfect believer. He engaged in his own sins. And God came down with divine discipline in his life. Men took advantage of his physical weakness and situation. They didn't like him because he upheld the law. Otherwise, as the king of Israel, the king by which all other kings, the standard is compared against or with. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, verse 5. Your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. As God trips them up, their best laid plans to try to murder David or something of that ilk. Psalm 64. Again, this is one of the rebound psalms with Bathsheba as the background. And again, people taking advantage of the situation, the divine discipline that David had to undergo after the fact. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Complaint was really more concerned. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, verse 2. From the tumult of those who do iniquity, who plan all types of evil underpinnings in regards to upsetting the throne and his position. Who have sharpened their tongue like a sword, verse 3. They aim bitter speech as their arrow. You know what David did? You know, that kind of deal. They shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Verse 5, they hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? 6, they devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thought and the heart of the men are deep. What they will come up with and plan, the depths they will go in degradation of attacking positive volition. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. God intercedes and protects otherwise. So they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake their head. Then all men will fear and will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. God could turn the tables immediately in regards to believers. Psalm 140, under those situations. Another psalm of David: rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They can continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues against sins of the tongue. As a serpent, poison of the viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet, to cause David to stumble. Proud have hidden a trap for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. I said to the Lord, verse 6, you are my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. 7, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device unless they be exalted. Verse 9, as for the head of those who surround me, may the mistress of their lips cover them. May burning coals, verse 10, fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into deep pits from which they cannot rise. 11, may a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord, verse 12, will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor, ultimately. And surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. D, they constantly plot against the righteous. Psalm 37:12. There are people out there that will do what's in their power to try to shut down local churches, to not let our thoughts and views of life to stand. People want to control. Tell you, you can't drink a Coke out of a 16-ounce mug. Let's see if you know your history on politics. There. It's too much for you. You'll live your life the way I want you to. All right. Get back to my Bible here. 37:12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The deep-laid animosity and hatred of people directed towards those otherwise who stand for the truth of doctrine is in view. E, know this, God is opposed to them. Proverbs 8:13. God sees all this. It's not going to fly with him. Ultimately, they will all pay. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Perverted mouth is that mouth which is anti-doctrine, distortion of doctrine. And along those lines, F, the perverted tongue will be stopped. That's Proverbs 10:31, which I think we read earlier. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. And in Roman numeral 18, to end the doctrine, the prayer of the positive, God-fearing believer with expected speech can easily be Psalm 141:3, written out for you, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.